He's a massive blessing on this church. And I pray that what he's taken in, we can impart smallly onto what we understand this morning. So I pray that we have ears to listen and our hearts are open to what he has to bring this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, well done. It's up. Have a guess what my subject is this morning? Not a clue. You're wondering, why have I put on two coats? Well, this is going to be a two-coat meeting. undercoat and overcoat. No, all right, we won't go there. But while we were praying, Kaz had a prophecy, and she had this thing about people wearing coats. And I thought, I'm going to demonstrate it, that people come in burdened with heavy coats. And you talked about people being burdened. And God this morning, I believe, is wanting to... Now, as you, if you're a regular with Riverside, you will know that we're looking at the whole subject of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all those sorts of subjects. And what I want to talk about relates to that, and I will explain in a minute. You think, how does freedom in Christ relate to walking in the Spirit? Well, actually, walking in the Spirit is freedom in Christ. It's very simple. They are connected. Do you know, I don't know about you, but very often when we're analytical and sort things out, we have little boxes for things. Is there any person here who does craft or DIY and you've got a little box of nails at this size and you don't jumble them all up? Well, the Bible actually doesn't jumble stuff up, but it connects things together. And sometimes we have little boxes, and God wants us to make these connections across, and that's what I want to help us to do this morning. And what I'm going to do is, with this wonderful device, hopefully, is just walk us through a story this morning. The story is the story of salvation, really, I want to walk through this morning. Hopefully, well, let's see which one it is. Nope. The down arrow. Ah. Right, so this is my verse that I'm kind of thinking and pinning things around. Galatians was the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, so it was a group of churches, and they were having problems. They were going back into sort of legalism. They, and by that meant, they were getting all knotted up, basically. And, do I have to keep this rule or that rule or the other rule? And Paul was saying to them, no, you started in the Spirit with me. I want you to carry on walking in the Spirit. That's the big story of Galatians. And he said here, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm. You don't have to get free. You are free if you are in Christ. So stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. That's my key verse. If you've not get anything more this morning, that will be really great if you get that. I've got lots of slides here, and don't go off because I might just jump things. So if you see a couple of slides go back that I didn't comment about, that's because I just don't see we need to go there at the moment. But anyway, hello. Always embarrassing. Would you like to play that one on the mic? It's great. You're free. Yeah. So what are our grounds for this freedom? Oh, by the way, if you read on in chapter 5, you'll find a lot more about it. But I'm not going to read that. Do get back and read chapter 5 of Galatians. It's a really good read. And it talks about us being free and walking in the Spirit, walking free. So what's the grounds for our freedom? Our grounds for our freedom are the death, the resurrection and the ascension of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Very often, I'm going to talk one day about the ascension because it's one of the subjects I've never heard a sermon on, except when I went to a CRV church school. We had Ascension Day, and I think there was an Ascension Day service there. But I'm going to talk about the ascension because it's very important. You know, if Paul in Ephesians says, you are seated in heavenly places, we need to have an understanding of what that ascension means. Anyway, so that's the basis and the grounds. Have we fully embraced it, is the question. And I think the answer's got to be really to that no. I haven't really fully embraced what this death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus means to us and means to me practically today. It's not just a theological theory. It's a practical relevance that should change your life and should change the lives of each and every one you come in contact with. Actually, you could go further and say, would we ever really fully understand it? An old hymn says this. I'll read it to you. Written by a lady called Lucy A. Bennett in 1908. She said, oh, teach me, sorry about the English, it's a bit archaic, but, oh, teach me what it meaneth, thy cross uplifted high, with one, the man of sorrows, condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. Oh, teach me, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that sacred crimson tide, the blood, the water flowing from thine unwounded side. Teach me that if none other had sinned but I alone, yet still thy blood, Lord Jesus, thine only must atone. Tremendous words. I mean, I remember singing that as a kid, not in 1906, but... But I remember singing it as a kid, and it's a song that's kind of been in the back of my head, but I think that's a prayer that we ought to pray. Oh, teach me what it meaneth. Teach me what it means. And I'm sure if we had that lesson, if we imbibed that, and we're walking in that lesson when we come to communion, when we come to fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters, wow, that's going to have an amazing effect. Yeah. So, today I want to replay the story of freedom from slavery, that salvation is won. Did you know salvation, we think of it as a thing, but actually salvation is a person. Whenever you say the name Jesus, you're saying salvation. Or, if you use Yeshua, it means God saves. Salvation is a person. Okay. So say his name often. Say his name often. You know, the world very often takes his name in vain and puts it into a wrong context. We have the privilege to say it often and put it into a right context and bring freedom over people's lives. His name brings freedom. So I want us to help us get a deeper, different understanding, maybe looking at it in a different way, and we'll come on to these bits of timber and my rather rudimentary gardener-esque carpentry skills. Glad Matt's gone out. Oh dear, sorry Mondo. It's all right. I tell you what, it's near on vertical. Well, it was in my garage. Yeah, right. Sorry, those shouldn't look like that, but they're right. Anyway, right, let's move on then. So how did this story start? Well, I want to take you back to time. I want to take you back to a garden where there are two trees and two choices. One garden, two trees, two choices. Okay? And I'm sure you know this story, so I'm not going to go into huge amounts of detail on it, but here we go. So, tree number one. And we don't know what the tree was. Hello. We don't know what the tree was. I didn't put that noise in. But we are told there was a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was a second tree in the garden, as if by magic. And this was the tree of life. Now, when you hear certain people talking about this, very often they'll major on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and seem to forget the tree of life. But the tree of life was in the garden. And this is where our problem starts from. Very often, we, as Keith explaining last week, we touch and we go by the things that we feel, the very things that are real. You know, these things, these lecterns that we're learning on, that are 99 point, well, how many nines was it? 13 after the decimal points of, what was it? What did Keith say this was? Nothing, emptiness, that's right. So it's really solid, this nothingness. And he also went on to explain that now, physicists say that actually the power or the, I'm just trying to think of the right word, the power or whatever, or the atoms are actually little packages of information. And we find right in the beginning of the book, and God said. And if God, and if it God said isn't actually a little packet of information, I don't know what is. It'll do until the one turns up. So God is there, he's been speaking, and perhaps actually scientists are beginning to catch up. Anyway, so what the choice today, the choice of freedom, we know what happened. Adam and Eve, they chose the knowledge of the good and evil, that they wanted to go for knowledge, and it had disastrous effects. Question, what would happen if they actually obeyed God and went for the tree of life? And that's a question, I think, that's a point where I think we have today. Because Moses went on at the end of his life to say this. This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you death and life, blessings and cursings. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. Choose life. That's a choice. Walking in the Spirit is choosing life. To live life by the Spirit of life, with the creator of all life dwelling in you. Yeah? Choose life. This isn't actually like my normal sort of thing, because I normally like to build sort of things on another. So there's going to be lots of little bits, but they all will all work together anyway. Anyway, so there's the garden, there's the problem, but there's the answer to choose life. Now we're going to move forward, so the historians say about 2,660 years, or 66 years, should I say. and at this point, this is where the props are going to come in. I'm going to put this down. I'll shout a bit anyway. But could I have a couple of helpers? This could take a long time. Lovely. That's what I like, volunteers. All right. It's dead easy. Yes. Okay. I'm going to put this down. Is it recording? No, it is recording. Oh, right. Okay. If you two gentlemen would like to uncramp the two... you'll hold the mic. Well, actually, Chris, how good are you at DIY? would you like some on-the-job training?
I'd love on-the-job training.
Do you know what this is?
It's an electric tool.
It's a drill. Okay. It's a dwarf drill. Very good. £99 at Screwfix. Very good value. All right. Two batteries included. Brilliant bit of kit. This one's wearing out. Anybody like to donate one? I'd love one. Right. Are you winning?
No.
No. All right. Click.
We tried clicking. Oh.
Okay. Brilliant. Oh. These are brilliant cramps as well. Okay. You just squeeze them up like that. All right. And to release them, you press the little button at the back, and it releases them. Great, aren't they, Nick?
Yeah,
brilliant. Okay, if you'd like to put one there, one about here, for the tape, if you have them facing each other, they're going to have to come in, because, oh, the board's dropped. Come in. Right, lovely, if you'd like to hold them. Right, Chris. Okay, we're going.
Whoa! Not too, whoa.
Too far,
mate.
Okay, all right. Come across and do this one a minute. That might do. Can I suggest you don't go quite so deep? Go on. Right, thank you. Lovely. Wonderful skills there. A big hand of applause for my three assistants. You can let go. It should stay. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's okay, John. I'll just put one in. Yeah. Woo, glad I charged that up. Is it electric? It actually runs on nothing. 9.99999. That's another thing that God produces. Hey, wouldn't that be good? Have you ever tried it, thinking of going to your electric provider and saying, that electric you provided me was nothing, so I therefore, if it's nothing you provided to me, I owe you nothing. I don't think that's going to work. Okay. Righty-ho. So, Where are we to? We've jumped forward. Does anybody won't know? About 2,666 years we've jumped forward, and what we're looking at? Sorry? Passover. Great, lovely. Passover. We are looking at the Passover. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on a bit. Right, okay. So Israel had been moved down. You know the story of Joseph? Joseph, I'm assuming you do. Sorry, if you don't, there's another little bit to read in Genesis and Exodus. Read about the story of Joseph and how they got from Canaan up in the north here. There should be a pointer on here, shouldn't there? Up in the north here. And Joseph eventually became under Pharaoh, and saved the country from ruin. He also saved the surrounding countries as well, because they were allowed to come in and have food. And this is the place they were living. They were living in the Nile Delta, which was very fertile. This is the land of Goshen. Okay, so this is where they were. That's setting the scene. So we come, and they've been living there for about 430 years, the Bible tells us. And first of all, in Joseph's day, it was great. Everything was going well. And then if you read the story, first of all, they had to sell off all their animals. Then they sold off the land, because they'd been given land by Pharaoh. And eventually, they had to go into slavery. The story tells it quite quick. And they end up, as I say, in slavery. They weren't free. They weren't living in freedom that God had promised them years beforehand. So Moses, after 430 years of this slavery, which had got worse and worse, Pharaoh could see that in spite of all the hardships they were going under, the population was booming. And he got worried about them. They're going to overrun us. We're going to be in terrible straits. So he decided to break their spirits with extra hard work and cut their rations and all sorts of things and try to wear them into the ground. But God appointed Moses to lead them out of this slavery. And God said, "Let my people go that they may worship me." That was his chant, that was his phrase. And so there was a series of plagues. You all know about the plagues? You've heard of the plagues? Yep, okay, we won't rehearse them. We'll jump fast forward from 1 to 9, and we'll get to plague number 10, which was the death of the firstborn. Really nasty thing. Death of the firstborn. And God said that at one particular night that he was going to pass through the land, and every firstborn animal, every firstborn person, every firstborn, even the slaves, they're all going to die unless they heard God's word and followed God's way. And so what did God say? Well, he said, take the lambs and I want you to feed on them, make a meal out of them. And he said, and also I want you to get a brush, which I've put down somewhere. There it is. He didn't say get a brush, sorry, that's my version. He said, So they daubed the crossbars and the uprights. I'm guessing they had timber because they were living in brick houses and bricks don't make good lintels. Have you ever tried to have a row of bricks like that stand up freestanding? Not very easy. There are ways of doing it, but they don't go straight. So I'm guessing they had a timber lintel. Anyway, they came inside. God also said to them, I want you to dress in your coats. And I want to have everything, all your bags packed, and also the food that you've prepared. Don't make packed lunch. Do you know? It's Sunday after Sunday lunch. You know, you have a big roast. You get cold meat on Monday, and maybe a fricassee on a Tuesday, and anything that's left over on a Wednesday. If you get that far, God said, don't do it. No packed lunch. I'm your provider from here on out. And he called them to walk out and walk into freedom. They were in slavery. They went in under it and followed God's word, and they came out in freedom. That's what God, if you're a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, that's what God has done for you. You come out into freedom. Now, God says, walk on out into freedom. Now, it took them a walk as well. So the other point, the point I want to make here is that walking in the Spirit, there's a clue there to what it is. It's a walk. Okay? And if you sit down, what does a walk stop being? A walk. So don't sit down. Okay? God is saying to you, walk on with me. Walk on. They were supposed to walk into the promised land straight in. And they didn't actually walk in straight away. As you know, they went round and round and round in circles. But more of that maybe another day. They were to take this one-year-old lamb. A nice lamb. Do you like our lamb? This is, I think, Chris's lamb. Forget it. Wrong image. That's the ram, okay? If you actually convert it in your mind to behold the ram of God, that's much better. It's much more like it was. Unblemished, complete with horns on, not nice beasties to carry. A one-year-old ram, they can be a bit feisty, can't they? And with the horns as well? This is I think this is a Texel, but so they wouldn't have had this. They would have been scraggier things. But they certainly would have had horns because they weren't allowed to be blemished in any way. He was complete, if you get my drift. He was complete, so he was feisty. He was ready to go. He was wanting to knock the head ram off the perch and be boss of the herd. Our Jesus is a strong ram, okay? He's not a cutie thing with a red ribbon around his neck, okay? He's the Lamb of God. He is strong, but ever so kind and ever so gentle to his people, but strong. Never forget he's strong. Never forget he's strong, because that strength is what protects you. So let's go on with our story. So where? Right. So that's an Old Testament story. So now jump forward 1,500 years. So we're jumping forward. Somewhere probably around April, between 30 and 34 AD, the scholars have wonderful battles about it and discussions. It's around that time, and that's good enough. It's I don't think it's a huge problem. I know lots of people have quite strong ideas about it. But this is roughly the time that the crucifixion would have happened. And the crucifixion takes the picture of the doorway and reconfigures it.
That's not going to go. I have to put some elbow grease on it. Like that.
This freedom has now become cross-shaped. His cross and his death pays for our freedom and from the captivity of sin. Not only our freedom, but the freedom of everyone in the whole world who would hear his voice and again choose life. That's the message of the cross. And furthermore, there's something more. It doesn't just leave us there. We are empowered to share that freedom as we go. That's our job. We're to share that freedom that Christ has given us. I just wondered whether to do this bit. Because does anybody know this? Do you think we could sing it? Yeah. Okay. Let me get a drop of water. As we sing this, if you've kind of been listening to this and saying, I don't really understand what Dave's been talking about, as we sing it, let the words sink into your heart and spirit. Why not ask Jesus to come and show himself, to show you what this means, just as we sing this song. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should guess, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did such love and sorrow phones compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Demands my soul, my life, my all. Why? Because he gave his life, his soul, his all for you. Very simple. Hey, but you've seen the next slide. We haven't finished our journey. We haven't finished our journey into freedom because there's more. There's more. We can't leave it there. Because 3 days later, and the time frame is coming down, it's only 3 days later, another door. And the empty tomb. He's not risen. He is here. That's what the people who visited the tomb were told. He's not risen. He's here. He is risen. Sorry. Yes. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, he's not here. He is risen. Oops. Never mind. Sorry. Never mind. Okay. And he was raised by the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8 goes on to tell us that if that same Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. Now, I was thinking about it very often. Some of these, you know, for those who know Romans 8, we kind of did dodge in and out a little bit with Romans 8. Sometimes we're talking about the present, and then sometimes we push it into the future. And this is one of the bits that very often people, you can see in the future. Well, I think, yes, he is talking. I think he is talking about a future tense, but with Christ, the future starts now. Steak on your plate while you wait. It's not some out there. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day when Jesus comes home. Now is the day for him to take my place. If Christ has raised you up, he's raised you up now. That same Spirit is raising your mortal body. That's going to be in all sorts of areas of your life. Now it's taking a journey. It will take a journey. It will take a time. In fact, the Christian life is a lifetime. It's a lifetime walk in the Holy Spirit. But there is freedom for you to walk into because you are free. It's the freedom that you have, you have it. That's the full verse of it. Okay, just one other thing. I just noted this down, because I had it in my notes elsewhere and didn't bring it into the other notes, lots of notes. But Romans 8 and 21 talks about creation will be set free from its bondage of corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And again, it's one of those verses people tend to put off into the end. But I believe as people who are set free, we are freedom makers. I believe that we should be walking and we should be seeing an effect on creation in all sorts of ways. I don't fully understand it, but I just, as I was just reading that verse, we are new creations. And new creations produce new creations. That's what Christ is producing in us. And I believe that that verse has something there that we need to walk into. We need to see it happening in other people's lives as well. So in Messy Church, we need to see it, to walk it out. So you might ask the question then, Dave, well, what are you saying to sum up? So Christ, by his death and resurrection through his indwelling Spirit, has set you totally free. That's number one. That's the most important point. If you don't get anything else, get that. You are free. Not you will be free, you are free. That's the heavenly reality. Okay. But if you feel you are, but notice the word feel, it's important, deliberate. God's word to you is, you are free indeed. In fact, it's actually Jesus' words. Whom the Son shall free will be free indeed. Yeah. So if you've got a feeling of not being free in an area, well, that's not the reality. That's the unreality. But the reality of the Spirit is you are free. And you need to start decorating it. I don't know whether you've noticed in God's word, God says, then it happens. God says, and it happens. In the beginning, God spoke, and it happened. There's a key, and the key is this. Declaration always precedes the action and the fulfillment. Sometimes we want the fulfillment and then I'll say I'm happy about it. That's not the biblical way around. God, if you look at God's way of doing it, he declares things. He said to Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of nations. and it's coming to pass. Now, it's taken a long time, but his word proceeds. He made him his father at that time. He was the father of nations at that time. His word proceeds, and then fulfillment starts to come. And we can actively work on that fulfillment as well. You can be a co-partner, a co-author in that, if you like. That's God's work with you. You need to work I don't mean to sort of, I'm going to stress it out, but you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, to work that freedom out in your bodies, in your lives. Well, sickness, financial concerns, all sorts of things, they will come in battle, but they shouldn't ever stop you living as a son. Look at Paul's life. You look at the litany of things that he went through. How many beatings, how many left for deads, imprisonments, you know, hardships, blah, 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 blah. And he could have given up. But you see, he was someone who was captured by the freedom of the Spirit. And when he was in prison, writing Philippians in those letters, who was the person who was the prisoner there? Well, the prison was, for instance. The prison itself was a prison. The chaps who were looking after him were also prisoners because they couldn't get away from that detail and duty. But Paul was free indeed. In the middle of the prison, he was the most freest man you've ever seen. Okay? So let freedom come in your spirit. Freedom is by walking in or by the Spirit. That brings us back to our theme. Freedom is also being an ambassador of the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Okay? And we have a right and a duty and a privilege to admit new members of the kingdom of God. You can share your faith, your love of God. God can speak to their hearts and you can help admit them into the kingdom of God as they come and bow the knee to Jesus. What a privilege. And power. You can just think about an ambassador being able to say, you can come in, but you can't come in. You can come in, but you can't come in. I mean, obviously, he's got rules about who you can admit. But that's a privilege that we have, okay? So, we are good news people, and we share it by telling the good news, living the good news, and being the good news to others. So how do you do it? You might say, well, like Jesus did, quite simply. And Luke 4, verse 14 says this. Jesus returned to Galilee from his time in the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. There's only one way to do it. It's in the power of the Spirit. Okay? So that's what I want to share with you this morning. We're free people, free indeed, who the Son has set free are free indeed. Are you free this morning? Yay! Good. I'm glad of that. I wonder if we could have the prayer team up. Have we got a team leader this week? Pam, right. Oh, Pam. There's a few more than that, I think, on the prayer team. Yeah, we just pray. Have we got a soundtrack so we can just... What I want to do is just, for all those... If you can sort people out into sort of groups or something like that would be great. This morning, if you feel like, you know, I said that you can feel enslaved. If you're in that category this morning, you feel enslaved by something, you need someone to stand, I think, just to stand in agreement with you and speak the freedom of God over your life. I'd like you just to come out and these guys are going to pray with you and speak God's word and freedom over your lives. If you've got a healing issue that needs dealing with, if you've got something that's causing you pain, I'm going to get some prayer as well because I got trouble with my feet. So, not at the moment, obviously, but at night. Anyway, so if you've got a pain or a sickness or something like that you need prayer for, come on out. If you want to be blessed, you can also come on out, okay, and be blessed and receive God's word. If you don't know Christ this morning, you haven't got a clue quite what I'm talking about, well, why not come out and let people pray for you? They'll be very gentle. They won't be harsh or anything like that. They'll be very kind. And let God bless you this morning. There's all sorts of ways. I'd like to stand. I'm just going to pray. Do just start coming as I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus' blood, his cross, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension have set us free indeed. And that, Father, we no longer, you've set us free from the slavery to sin. That's our right. We need to walk into that. And Father, you've set us free from a whole host of everything else. We are freedom people. Father, I pray that you'll burn that into our spirits. We are freedom people, free to walk in the Spirit this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Amen. Do come on out. Amen.